Good morning. Today's daf in Yuma Nun Vav. We are in our name at Bays. We are going to be starting from the bottom of the Amud, about 10 lines, a little bit less. Chaos of Rav Dimi. The Gemara is in the middle of a discussion. We are right now trying to solve for two shitas of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah in Yuma. The Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah could be found all the way back on Nun Gimel Amud Bays. And a Rav Yehuda in a Brice and Shkalim. So we're trying to solve for two Rav Yehudas, and Rav Yosef thinks that he's got the answer. Well, first, let's go over both shitas. First of all, the shita of Rav Yehuda here in our Mishnah. So Rav Yehuda says that when the Kohen Gadol is operating with the two bowls of blood, he's going to be operating with the bowl of the Dam Par, and he's also operating with the bowl of the Dam Seir. So now that he's operating with two bowls of blood, so he doesn't have any help. He's alone in the Heichal. He's alone in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So how is he going to be holding two bowls? So he's not going to be holding two bowls. In other words, he's going to put it down. The base of the bowl doesn't have a bottom to it. It doesn't have a flat bottom to it. So you need a stand. You need a stand in order to hold the bowls. How many stands do you need? So you need one stand or two stands. So the Tana Kama and the Mishnah back on Gimel says two stands. You just simply have two stands so that, and you'll label them. One will be for the Dam Par and the other one will be for the Dam Seir. But meanwhile, Shitas Rebbe Yehuda back in the Mishnah is that no, you're not going to have two stands. You'll have one stand. And so we'll put one down, but obviously he's got to first pick one up and then put one down. Okay, so that's Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah. What's behind that shita? So hold that thought. We're going to get back to that in just a moment. And there's another Rav Yehuda found in the Brisa in Shkalim. It's a Tosefta. Rav Yehuda says that, I know there are two shofars in the Beis HaMikdash dedicated for the purchasing of birds, but they're both for Nedava. They're both for voluntary bird offerings. They're not for Chova. Chova, a pair of birds of Chova, one's going to be an Ola and the other one's going to be a Chatas. A pair of birds for Nadava, they're both going to be Olas. So Rav Yehuda says that the two Shofros in the Beis HaMikdash, right, in terms of that we just went through yesterday, we counted the 13 Shofros altogether. So of the 13 Shofros that we counted, so Shofros numbers 3 and 4, which are both for the purchase of birds, so one's going to be in for Olas Nadava, the other's also going to be for Olas Nadava, according to the sheet of Rav Yehuda. Then why the two shofros? Because there are two types of birds. Can be offered as a karban. One is the tour and the other is the b'nei yona. So if you volunteered, if you specified and you said, I'm going to bring a tour, a pair of torim, so then you contribute to the pushka that says torim. And if you contribute and said you're going to bring b'nei yona, so you put in the other pushka. But that sheet is Rav Yehuda. Now that doesn't, that's not agreed to by the Mishnah Shkalim. The Mishnah Shkalim says that one's going to be for Chova and the other one's going to be for Nadava. Okay, how come? How come Rav Yehuda does not do it that way? So we know what the Braisa says. The Braisa says, Mibnei Tarovis, because of the confusion and the mixture and the mix-up that's going to occur. But what does that mean? Okay, so that's a wonderful question. So what does that mean? So right now we have those two Rav Yehudas to solve for. So Rav Yosef in yesterday's daf offered a pshat. And Rav Yosef says, you know what the pshat is? Is that you can label it all you want. We don't read the signs. Okay? Everything is nice and labeled for us. Okay, that's wonderful. People are not careful about reading signs. And so, excuse me. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol, who is going to be putting the bowl of blood down on one of the two stands, and even if the stands are labeled, but the Kohen Gadol is not going to read the sign. And if the shofars in the Beis HaMikdash are labeled, so they're not going to read the sign. So that is right now the offering of Rav Yosef in terms of a pshat, both Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah and Rav Yehuda of the Brisa and Shkalim. Good. The Gemara does not like it. In fact, the Gemara at the end, at least to the part we got to yesterday, the Gemara was dismissive of that pshat. That really is not the pshat of Rav Yehuda. Let's go back to Shkalim. So the Mishnah Shkalim in the sixth parak goes through all 13 shofros, and they're all labeled, all 13 of them. Well, to be a little bit more accurate, the first seven are labeled. We went through the seven labels yesterday. Numbers 8 through 13, right, the last six. So they're not labeled. They're just simply for Ketz HaMizbeach. They're for Olas Nedava of animals, of karbanos. Why six? So I didn't mention this yesterday. Rashi on the Daf mentions it. We saw it back in Shkalim. In fact, if you remember the Gemara in Shkalim, right? I have a okay memory of it. But if you remember back in Shkalim, the Gemara in Shkalim gave a number of reasons why the number six. Rashi over here offering one of the reasons that we saw back in Shkalim is that we know that the Kohanim are broken up into 24 Mishmaros, and each of the Mishmaros are then subsequently broken up into six Bate Avos. And that means that in every Mishmar, they're working the entire week of the Beis Hamikdash, but they're subdivided into the Bate Avos. And so basically Sunday through Friday, each of the Beis Avs of each of the Mishmaros are going to be operating. So six Pushkas for the Olas Nedava, basically labeled Sunday through Friday. And depending on which Beis Av you are, that you were assigned to that particular shofar. Okay, good. Anyway, what's this idea of Rabbi Yehuda that people don't read the signs, it's just simply not true. Meaning, we know the Mishnah Shkalim, and it's not in fact the case that people don't read the signs. So what we are left with now is we have to say a pshat in Rabbi Yehuda. So let's say a pshat in Rabbi Yehuda. So ki asa, so now we're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. So ki asa Rabdimi, Amar Amri b'mar Rava. Okay, so we're going to start off with the Mishnah Shkalim. The Mishnah Shkalim says the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael, and this is reported to us by Rabdimi. Rabdimi kept going back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and he kept exchanging all the ideas that were learned in Eretz Yisrael to the Chachmei Bavel, and conversely as well. So Rav Dimi says, look, this is what they say in Eretz Yisrael. So the concern is that, look, if there was a shofar for Chova, so what's going to happen is that someone's going to drop in money in order to purchase a pair of birds, once and all in the other Chatas, and we're concerned that person's going to die after having deposited the money. Now, if that person dies, what happens now? So the money now qualifies as what? Chata shemesu ba'aleha. Now, of course, it's not yet in the form of an animal. It doesn't matter. In other words, the money now is money of a carbon chata shemesu ba'aleha. Now, what happens with that money? The money has to be disposed of. Problem now is that that money's mixed in with all those other monies. And since they're mixed in with all the other monies, so now we have a tarovus. So why don't we say bittel? Why don't we say bittel barov? So the simplest explanation, the Gemara doesn't raise this issue over here, but the simplest explanation is that it's a devar chashev, it's money, it's significant, and therefore it is not eligible for bittel. Okay, so it creates that problem. The Gemara says, okay, it creates that problem. Umi chayshinam, but the Gemara says, but wait 1 second. Is that something that we concern ourselves with? Meaning a person drops in the money and that person's going to drop dead? Right? Is that something that we really have to worry about? So the Gemara says, okay, here's what we know. Somebody sends in a carbon chatas from a faraway place. Okay, travel time, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks. You know, well, back then, everything was snail mail. So, and over here, the sending of a carbon chatas, either money or an animal, doesn't matter. So by the time it arrives in the Beis Hamikdash, it could be a week, 2 weeks after he or she sent it. Now, are we going to offer it with the assumption that that person's still alive? And the Braisa says, absolutely, 100%.
How do you know that the money wasn't already spent while the news was on its way?
I'm not understanding.
You said there's a 2 week lag, let's say, between the time he dies and that the news gets the big break, right?
No, not news, the money.
The money
was sent to the Beis Hamikdash. And now, let's say shipment took 2 weeks, and now the money's in the Beis Hamikdash, and now they got to wonder to themselves. They are wondering, is that person still alive?
The question is, isn't there a suffix as to, we don't know the exact time that he died before and after the money got there?
That's not the issue. The issue is just simply, has the person survived the last 2 weeks? They don't know if the person's of the person's condition. So the Bryce's point is very simple. The Bryce's point is, we can assume the person's still alive. That's all. So now that we assume that the person's still alive, so they offer the carbon. So and that's a shipment of, I made up the number of 1 to 2 weeks, but you understand. In other words, it's not same day. Over here, when somebody deposits the money in the shofar, that's same day service. They're going to be offering that carbon that day. Well, we're not worried that that person's going to die in the course of 1 day. Okay, so the Gemara says fine. So we're gonna refine our approach, meaning it is still going to work with the same basic approach, but we're refining it just a little bit. So the Gemara says, no, we're not concerned that the person's going to die. We're talking about a case where the person actually died. In other words, what happened is the person dropped in money into the shofar, and then, rachmanis, that person just died. And under those circumstances, we don't suspect that there's now money in there which is chatas amesa. We know now that there's money in there. That's a chatas amesa. Okay. So that is in Eretz Yisrael, the Bnei HaYeshiva, when saying over the Mishnah in Shkalim, in the Brisa in Shkalim, so that's how they understand the sheet of Rav Yehuda. Now the Gemara is going to point out it's an unsolvable problem. In other words, you have chatas mesa money that's mixed in with all the other monies. It's an unsolvable problem. So the Gemara says, "Venever arba zuze v'nishte b'maya v'hanach nishtaru." So the Gemara says, "Now here I got a great suggestion, and that is, look, we have all these people's monies in the pushka. So what we'll do is that we'll take one carbon's worth of money, right? The Gemara over here describes it as dal zuze. You can see Rashi over here in terms of how the Gemara knows that's the cost. We could just assume it. That's the cost." So the cost of a pair of birds is going to be dal zuze. So why don't we just simply pick up four zuzim from the pushka, right? Obviously, there's a lot more money in there. And just we'll dispose of that. And we'll say that that money belonged to that person. And using what principle? Using the principle of Breira. Okay. Now, we open the door to Breira. And boy, are we going to open the door to Breira, because it's going to cover the rest of today's daf. And that is that using, operating the principle of Breira, so now what we're able to do is we're able to now connect that money with that person. Even though all the money's got mixed up together, but can't Breira now make that determination? Now, how does Breira work? So the way Breira works is that it's retroactive. It's retroactive determination, meaning that what we're going to be able to do, if we in fact use and allow for the principle of Breira, is that we're able to say that a decision that's made later can retroactively now go back to an earlier point in time. Okay, now this is a really tricky application of Breira, meaning you have a whole bunch of people who put money into the pushka, and when they put it in, obviously there was one particular money that belonged to them, and now the monies are all mixed together. We don't know whose money belongs to whom. Under normal circumstances, the Kohen would just simply take all the monies and purchase with that money a pair of birds, one chatas, one ola, and be offering it. Now the Gemara says that one of the people died. We don't suspect that person died. We know that the person died. And now that we know that the person died, so what we're going to do now is that we're going to randomly pick up money for one pair of birds and dispose of it. And the rest of the money's fine. And using the principle of Breira, now this, again, it's a funny application of Breira. It's a creative application of Breira. Right? I choose my words carefully. It's a creative application of Breira, because what we're doing is we're attaching that money to that person, even though, obviously, could very well not be the case. But retroactively, we'll say that the money that was chose, Hoover Adav Lamafrey, that was the money that belonged to that particular person. Okay. Obviously, just thinking about it for just a moment, it is a little bit interesting, and it's certainly a curiosity. Meaning, because it's not like when they put the money in, they didn't know which money they put in. They knew exactly which money they put in. But once all the monies are together, and obviously the monies themselves don't have any simon on them, so then we don't know whose belongs to whom. And now at a later point in time, we could take somebody else's money and connect it to that person, the person who died. Okay. That is, as pointed out, so that is going to be an extraordinarily unusual application of the principle of Breira. The Gemara is going to prove, and this is what we're going to spend the rest of our daf doing, is that, well, Rav Yehuda doesn't subscribe to Breira. Once we prove that Rav Yehuda doesn't subscribe to Breira, so now we understand. So for Rav Yehuda, it becomes now an unsolvable problem. Since it becomes an unsolvable problem, so that's why Rav Yehuda says, that's why from the get-go, we are not going to be able to use, we're not going to be able to have two shofars, one for Nadav and the other one's for Chova. Okay. Now let's go through the now. The Gemara says Rav Yehuda Leisle Breira Menalan. So how do I know that Rav Yehuda does not subscribe to the principle of Breira? So what the Gemara is going to do is the Gemara is going to take two attempts in order to prove that Rav Yehuda doesn't subscribe to Breira. The first one is popular, because the first one comes up throughout Shas numerous times. You can see on the side of the Gemara the number of times that the Gemara cites this particular scenario. Gittin Babakama, Sukkah, Erevin, Me'ila, Chulin. So, okay, it comes up a lot throughout Shas. So it's a case that if you've been with the daf, so you've heard this case numerous times. Case over here describes the following scenario. A person is making a last-minute purchase right before Shabbos, right? He needs some wine. Shabbos is coming, right? Kiddush, Avdallah. Okay, so he needs some wine. So he's going to make a last-minute purchase. Now, the firmers, if you will. So all their stores are closed, meaning, you know, they got to get ready for Shabbos. So who do you have now available to sell wine so close to Shabbos? I'm embellishing a little bit, right? I'm making this a little bit more dramatic than it needs to be. So who's left open with their stores open? Okay, so people who are a little bit on the fringe, if you will. Okay, sketchy people. Okay, so they're with their stores open right before Shabbos. So where are we going to go now to buy wine? So we'll go to our local kusi. Okay, quick historical note: we all know this. The kusim were a group of people who were basically dropped into Eretz Yisrael right after Sanherib. Took the 10 northern tribes and basically flushed them out of Eretz Yisrael, sent them throughout the world, scattered throughout the world. We don't know where they are to this very day. This is during the first Beis HaMikdash. So then they were replaced with a group of outsiders from the land of Kusa, and hence they're called Kusim. And they moved to Eretz Yisrael, and all this can be found in Navi. You could read about it in Sefer Malachim, Malachim Beis, if I'm not mistaken, the 17th parak of Malachim Beis. But anyway, So these people now lived in Eretz Yisrael. They weren't Jewish, and they were Ovid Avodah Zarah. The Navi describes how Eretz Yisrael had no tolerance for their idolatry in Israel. So they were attacked. They were attacked by lions. So they converted. Now, granted that the mass conversion of this particular group of people was done under duress, was the conversion good or not good? And as we all know, it's a major debate. The Tanaim debated this issue, the Amoraim debated the issue, the Gemara in Chulam in the beginning has a long discussion about the status of the conversion of these Kusim. Okay, so, needless to say, this is an easy statement. They're a controversial people. And so now, I buy the wine from the Kusim. Are they taking off Trumas and Maestros? The simple answer is no. That's a simple answer. And so I've got to take off Trumas and Maestros when I buy from them. There's a larger question, quite frankly, which is, can I buy wine from them to begin with? Meaning, I can't buy wine from a non-Jew, right? That's Tam Yenam. So, wine that was made by a non-Jew, handled by a non-Jew. So, you can't purchase that. Can I purchase wine from a Kusi? So, the question is kind of funny. That's what we're doing right now. We're purchasing the wine from the Kusi. So, Rashi over here writes, it's the second to last Rashi in the Amud Kodem Shigazru Aleihem. So there was a gzera that you shouldn't buy wine from a kusim, but obviously the Brice over here is discussing a pre-gzera period of time. There must have been, says Rashi, a point in time where you could buy wine from them. So it's a funny period of time, meaning they don't take off Shumas and Maestros, as will become evident in our Gemara over here, but the conversion is good enough where we could buy wine from them. Okay, right, Tosfos over here, you can see a lot of Tosfos in today, right? There's a lot to discuss in terms of going deeper into the Gemara. So Tosfos over here says that maybe it could be that regarding the Kusim, they weren't Ovid Avodah Zarah, meaning even if the conversion wasn't the best conversion, but they weren't Ovid Avodah Zarah, and maybe the Gzera of Stam Yenam doesn't apply to the Kusim because they're monotheistic people, or at least not idolatrous practicing people. Oh, so you could say something like that. Tosfos does say something like that. Regardless. So you go to the Kusim and you buy wine from the Kusim. It's right before Shabbos. You got to take off Trumas and Maestros. And as Rashi points out over here, to take off Trumas and Maestros, you need other Kalim. In other words, you got to pour off 2% for the Truma Gedola, another 10% for the Maestros Rishon. Maestros Sheni is solvable. In other words, that you could just do a pidyon. You could just redeem that onto money. But you have to at least take off 12%, approximately. 12% for Trumas and Maaser Rishon, you need another Keli. Right now, it happens to be that you don't have another Keli. All right, so what do you do? All right, so good. So, Kechem, Ibein HaKusim, Erev Shabbos, Im Chashecha, Omeid V'Omer. So here's what you can do, says the Braisa. And that is say, Shnei Lugim Shani Asi Lafrish Harmein Truma. Look, I'm going to drink the wine for Shabbos. Again, Kiddush Avdallah, I'll drink the wine for Shabbos. I'm saying right now that I'm going to leave over at the end. I'll leave over a good amount. 2 of the 100, meaning let's assume that there's 100 Lugan. 2 of the 100, so that's going to be Truma Gedola. So how much do you take off for Truma Gedola? So the recommended amount is 2%. Good, 1 over 50. So 2% of 100, it's 2. Okay, that's your higher math for today. So 2 I'll take off for the Truma Gedola. Asara, my Sarishon, and then I'm going to take off 10 as my Sarishon. Now, here's where the math gets a little bit more complicated, not tremendously, and that is, it says you take off 10% for Maaser Rishon. Well, you already took off 2 for the Truma Gedola, you now have 98. 10% of 98 is not 10, it's 9.8. Okay, so Tosfos over here, by the way, deals with that. One of the large Tosfosim. Actually, it's the Tosfos Asara Maaser Rishon. Anyway, for our purposes right now, we can keep it nice and simple. Let's keep it streamlined. Let's round up, which is presumably what the Gemara is doing. So 10% you're taking off for Maaser Rishon, and then Tisha Maaser Sheni. Now, the next 10% you're going to take off is going to be Maaser Sheni. Now, that's not every year, right? In years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the Shemitah cycle, that you're taking off Maaser Sheni. In year 3 and 6, you're taking off Maaser Ani. Okay, but the point is that if it's a Maaser Sheni year, you got to take off another 10%. Now, that next 10% that you're taking off as Maaser Sheni, you're going to bring to Yerushalayim and eat Yerushalayim. But here, you don't have to physically take out that. What you could do is that you could be podeh. You could redeem that onto money. Okay. So, and that's what you're going to do with your Maaser Sheni. Umechal. And that's the way Rashi understands the word mechal. Mechal means that you're going to be mechalo. You're going to deconsecrate the Maaser Sheni from that wine onto money. So the Maaser Sheni, you're going to just simply solve for by being podeh. Vishosa miyad divrei Rebbe Meir. You can drink it right away, and all this is a shita of Rebbe Meir. So basically what Rebbe Meir allows for is the following. I'm going to drink the wine, and I'm saying right now that whatever I leave off at the end, that's going to be my trumas and maisers. How does that work? There's only one way it works, and that's breira. In other words, what we're saying is that whatever is left off retroactively is going to be the trumas and maisers that I intended to take from the very beginning. Obviously, Trumas and Maisos has to be taken off the top. You can't, under normal circumstances, just simply eat and drink and just save the remaining for Trumas and Maisos. You have to take off the top. So over here, in this situation where you ran out of time, and by the way, it's Erev Shabbos, you can't take off Trumas and Maisos on Shabbos. So that's why the only way this situation is going to work halachically is if you subscribe to the principle of Breira. Reb Meir subscribes to the principle of Breira. And it works. And now you see a lot of the Tosfosim that we're not going to be doing together. Okay, there's a lot to take into consideration over here. Halkech Gami Ben Akusim. So Tosfos over here spends a lot of time talking about what I touched on briefly. How you're buying wine from Akusi? Like how is that even feasible? The Asara Maaser Rishon that I touched on that as well in terms of the math. If you took off 2%, so then the next is not 10, it's really 9.8. Okay, and the next one, Divrei Rebbe Meir, which also we're going to just, I'll just touch on. Rebbe Meir over here clearly subscribes to Breira. Other Gemaras does not have Rebbe Meir clearly subscribing to Breira. So Tosfos tries to make shalom between the Rebbe Meir sheikhs throughout Shas. Anyway, we get to turn the page, because what we want to hear now is the response given to Rebbe Meir. By not one, but three Tanaim will respond to Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yehuda, V'Rebbe Yossi, V'Rebbe Shimon, Osrin. So we have three Tanaim who are all of the position we don't agree with Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yossi, and Rebbe Shimon all say, it doesn't work. Now, why doesn't it work? Amayin Breira. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why it doesn't work. It doesn't work because all the above Tanaim, we don't subscribe to Breira. And if you don't subscribe to Breira, so then, you can't just simply leave the last off for Trumas and Maisos. Trumas and Maisos have to be taken off the top. And if I don't subscribe to Breira, so they were not taken off the top, and therefore, it doesn't satisfy the requirement of Trumas and Maisos. Okay. That is a proof that Rav Yehuda does not subscribe to Breira. Now, it's a good proof, but as the Gemara points out, it's not a great proof. In fact, I'll tell you why it's not a great proof. Mimai. So the Gemara says, if you look carefully over there, what you'll see is Dilma Shani Hasam Kediktani Taima. If you read on a little bit further in that Braisa, which the Gemara now is about to do, so you'll see that the truth be told is that they're not arguing about Breira. What are they arguing about? So over there, Amru Lo Li Rebbe Meir, Iya Tamod Hashema Yivaka Anod Benimsa Shosa Tval Mama Freya. So they say to Rebbe Meir, look, we may subscribe to Breira, but you're taking a risk. And what may end up happening is that you're leaving off the last bit for Trumas and Maisros, and it could very well be that the jug is going to break. And if the jug breaks, so then you're going to be losing that Truma and Maisros that you left over. And then what comes out now is that that what you drank up until this point in time was Tevel, because you didn't successfully take off Trumas and Maestros. And his response back to them is V'amar lehem lecheshiyivaka. And Rameir says, you know, we're not worried about that when it happens, right? The old cliche, when we get to that bridge, we'll cross it. So Rameir basically says, yeah, you know what? If we get there, I'll worry about it. Yeah, good. I was thinking the same thing as well. All right, I'm going to come back to your point with no good answer, but I'm going to come back to your point. Wait, just give me one second. So Lichishi Yivakis, or Rameir says, when it happens, and as Rashi points out over here, what Rameir is effectively saying is, I'm not worried about that. So in other words, I subscribe to Brera, you subscribe to Brera, and so for all of us it should work. It just happens to be that these Tanayim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon, have a concern in which, even if we rely on Brera, the jug is going to break, we're going to lose that last wine that was that should have been Trumas HaMaisos, and now the rest of the wine has not been Mesukin and has not been corrected, and therefore it's Tevel. Okay, that's their concern. And Rameir, on the other hand, says, not a concern of mine. Ben pointed out, I was thinking the same thing as well, and that is that Rameir's throughout Shas is Choshesh Lemiyuta. He's somebody who's normally concerned about the smallest percentage chance of something happening. So Rameir normally is Choshesh Lemiyuta. And over here, in the exchange that occurred between Rameir and the other Tanayim, so Rameir is uncharacteristic. I happen not to have, I thought the same thing. I don't have a...
How come they don't apply
eight based
on that principle?
Yeah. Okay, good. Apparently, for whatever reason, which I don't have a good explanation, the Rameir's not worried over here. He's not concerned over here. Yeah, Hedy.
If there's a concern about the breaking at the end, could happen at the beginning also. If you have another container and you put the truma in it and then it breaks, it's still good, no?
Right. It could be, but this is the one you know you're using. So this is the one you know you're using. So the other Tanaim say, okay, and it could break. Okay. What comes out now is that we brought in that entire Braisa in order to show that Rabbi Yehuda does not subscribe to Brera. It just happens to be not a great proof. Because as we went through the end of the Braisa, the consideration of Rabbi Yehuda, and the reason why he argues with Rabbi Meir is because they're not debating on whether we do or do not subscribe to Brera. They all subscribe to Brera. It's another consideration of a concern whether or not the jug is going to break at the end. Okay. So, Ella Mididni Ayo. So the Gemara says, okay, so it's based on another one. So this is going to be round two, where the Gemara now is going to prove that Rav Yehuda does not subscribe to Brera, and it's based on a Braisa, Bayatana. Now, the word Ayo over here could be his name, it could be that we don't know his name, either way. Didni Ayo, because we have the following Braisa, Rav Yehuda Omer Eina Damasna Al Shnei Dvarim Ke'echad. Ella im bachacham lemizrach eruv lemizrach lemarav eruv lemarav aval lekan ulekan lo. Now over here the Braisa is dealing with eruv itchumim. Okay, so this takes us back to our good old days of Erevin, not so long ago. So you want to now extend your tchum, so you could do so before Shabbos by setting up an eruv tchum. Your tchum is limited. You're bounded by 2,000 amas outside of the city limits. So once you go in any direction outside the city limits, you can only walk 2,000 amas. And it happens to be that there's a great shear that's going to be happening on Shabbos. But in order to get to the shear, so you're going to have to extend your tchum. It happens to be right now that there's a great shear going on to the east and there's a great shear going on to the west. And you know what? I don't know which one I want to go to. So here's what I'll do. I'll set up two Eruv Tchumim and we'll go into Shabbos with the two Eruv Tchumim. Now, obviously, you can only move your Makom Shlisa to one location. So you can't employ both of the Eruv Tchumim. You can only use one of the two. Well, which one? I'll decide on Shabbos. Now, Shabbos is too late. The Eruv Tchum has to kick in the Bein HaShmashos of that Shabbos. So if I subscribe to Brera, so then I'll make the decision on Shabbos and retroactively going back to Bein HaShmashos, that's when it's going to work. Good. So that's if you subscribe to Brera. And meanwhile, Rav Yehuda says that Eina Damasna Shnei Dvarim Ke'echad Elim Ba'chacham LaMizrach Eruv LaMizrach LaMarav Eruv LaMarav Avakan LaKan Lo. And you can't employ this kind of mechanism. You can't set up the two Eruv Etchumim and then make a decision on Shabbos. You know what? This Shabbos I'm in the mood for that Rav. In other words, I have a Rav to the east, a Rav to the west. The only way I can reach either one of them is only by using the Tchum, my new Eruv Tchum. So Rav Yehuda says you can't do that because you made the decision too late, and Rav Yehuda does not allow for retroactive determination. And vahavinam ba maishna lekan lekan delo dein breira lemizrach umarav nami ein breira. Now the Gemara is asking a question because Gemara is working with a false assumption. In just a moment, the Gemara is going to clarify the assumption. But right now, the Gemara is working with a false assumption. What is the false assumption? The cases are either there are two shirim going on, one to the east, one to the west, and they'll decide which one it is on Shabbos. And the other scenario is which it's one Tama Chacham. He just happens not to know whether he's coming from the east or the west. So he sets up two Eruvei Tchumim. And then on Shabbos, whichever one he needs to use, so that's the one he's going to employ retroactive to the time of Bein HaShemashos. What the Gemara right now thinks is that in the case of the two Talmidei Chachamim giving shir, it doesn't work. In the case of one Talmid Chacham, it does work. Well, what's the difference? That's what bothers the Gemara. So the Gemara gives a quick clarification. V'amar Rav Yochanan kishekvar b'chacham. Nah. The case of the one Talmid Chacham is talking about a case where he was there already, before Bein HaShemashos. So in other words, the Erev was activated. It just happens to be that you weren't told before Shabbos which side he came on. But you're not relying on Breira, you're just simply relying on the fact that it happened already, I just don't know. That's not Breira. That's just simply me not knowing. But so I'm setting up both Eruv V'Tchumim because I caught wind that he's coming from somewhere, not that he's coming, but he's here already. I just don't know which one it is. So under those circumstances, you can set up multiple Eruv V'Tchumim, and this is not retroactively decided. It has already been decided. You just happen not to know. Okay, but regardless, what comes out over here is that clearly Rav Yehuda, based on that brisa presented by Ayo, clearly Rav Yehuda is of the position that we don't subscribe to Breira. Okay, so now that we're here, v'hashadamrin and Rav Yehuda ain't Breira. So now that Rav Yehuda doesn't subscribe to Breira, and let me just fill in the gap before we go on in the Gemara. So now that means that as far as the brisa of the Tosefta of Shkalim, so give ourselves a check in terms of understanding what's happening over there. What's happening over there in that Tosefta of Shkalim is that Rav Yehuda does not allow for one of the shofars to be for Chova, Kine Chova. Why doesn't he allow for that? Because, again, as we just got done explaining for most of today's daf, because what's going to happen is that someone's going to deposit money in that shofar. That person, we don't suspect that that person died. We're talking about a case where that person died. Now you have Chatzos HaMeisa in that shofar with all the other monies, and it's an unsolvable problem. I just take out money and assign it to that person using the principle of Breira. So Rav Yehuda doesn't subscribe to Breira. Okay. So the Tosefta and Shkalim now, we give ourselves a big check. In other words, we understand it. And also, we also have established that according to Rav Yehuda, people read signs. Meaning, right, like we said in yesterday's daf, according to Rav Yehuda, all the shofars, all 13 of them are going to be labeled. So now with the labeling of all 13 shofars, so people read signs. So now, Rav Yehuda doesn't subscribe to Breira. Rav Yehuda says that people read signs. So now we go back to our Mishnah over here in Yuma. The Mishnah says that according to Rav Yehuda, there are not going to be two stands for the Kohen Gadol, but there's going to be one stand for the Kohen Gadol. And it only begs the question. Once we establish that according to Rav Yehuda, people read signs, so now we need an operating pshat. Why in our Mishnah over here is Rav Yehuda say one stand, not two stands? Good. And that's where the Gemara now is going to explain. V'hasha damrin, I'm backing up one line. V'hasha damrin l'Rav Yehuda imbrei rak siva islay. And he subscribes to the idea that people read signs. So why not just simply have two stands and label? This stand is going to be for the Dam Par. This stand is going to be for the Dam Seir. So why doesn't Rav Yehuda subscribe to that? So Mishum Chusha de Kohen Gadol, Lav Adaite. So the Gemara says, because consider, the Kohen Gadol just pulled an all-nighter. The Kohen Gadol right now is in the middle of doing the Avodas Yom HaKippurim without sleep and without food. He's exhausted. And so therefore, we want to make this as easy as possible for the Kohen Gadol. Now I say easy, I mean as least confusing for the Kohen Gadol. Now keep in mind right now, this is going to be requiring a lot of headspace. He's going to be have to juggling two bowls of blood, the Dam Par Dam Seir. He's going to have to be counting precisely how many has us to do in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, 1 in 7 as we already went over yesterday, for the Dam Par, same thing for the Dam Seir. Then he's going to be repeating the same thing for the Parochas of the Eichal, the Parochas of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, 1 in 7 for the Par, 1 in 7 for the Seir, and there's more Hazals to go as well. Now, if there are two stands, And even if they are labeled, and he puts the blood down and in the two stands, so over there, there's more of a chance that he'll simply confuse the two. And so therefore, with one stand, so he's always going to have to keep a bowl in his hands. Now, of course, by the way, there's still room for human error, but less room for human error. And if we can minimize the amount of human error, considering right now that he's without food and without sleep, so if we can minimize the human error, so we'll do so. That is the Gemara's explanation of Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah. So lava daite di lo temachi belok sivanami hai nafish vaizutar. The Gemara says, and I know I made this point yesterday, but better that the Gemara makes the point. And that is, consider that, how are you confusing the two bloods? How are you confusing the two bowls? In other words, one holds the blood of the par, and the other one holds the blood of the seir. How much blood is there of a bull? A lot more than that of a goat. Bull's a large animal. Goat's a small animal. And don't suggest for a moment, even though the Gemara will, don't suggest for a moment, well, maybe you didn't collect all the blood of the bull. So maybe in terms of volume, it's the same amount. That's not, that's just simply not acceptable. So you collected all the blood of the bull. The Kabbalah Sadam requires that you collect all the dam hanefesh, all the blood that comes out immediately post-shechita. And so therefore, there's going to be a lot more dam of the par than that of the seir. And so you're telling me that the Kohen's going to confuse the two bowls. So, what? And now you're going to suggest, well, maybe there was a lot of blood of the bull, but maybe, I don't know, the Kohen Gadol tripped, right? Spilled a little bit of the blood on the floor. Now the volume between the two are equal. So the Gemara says, Hai chiver vai sumak. Ah, they don't have the same hue. Right. It's not the same red. Now please don't ask me. which the bull's red, the bull blood is redder, the goat blood is redder. I happen not to know. And I can guess.
It's a function of time.
Huh?
It's a function of time.
Okay, good.
Earlier, it's going to be darker because that's not good. The blood just...
Okay, good. Oh, good. I like that. Okay, so the high chiver of a high sumak. And so they're different hues. So they're different volumes and they're different hues. So and now we're worried about the Kohen mixing it up. So the Gemara says, yeah. So Ela mishum choshed the Kohen Gadol, lava daite. Hachanami mishum choshed the Kohen Gadol, lava daite. And the reason why we're concerned is because the Kohen Gadol right now, so you put him in a compromised position. I mean, you put him in. The Torah did. He's without sleep. He's without food. Okay, so right now he is exhausted. And so when you're exhausted, so you're prone to making more mistakes. And so the Gemara therefore says, so you understand that even though there are clear ways of identifying which one's which, but the Kohen Gadol is in a state right now where things can get more, things can easily, more easier be confused. So therefore, we want to try to make it easier for him. That's why, according to Rav Yehuda, one stand, not two stands. And again, the advantage, the purpose of the one stand is so that now with the one stand, so you're going to be able, Kohen Gadol is always going to have to hold the bowl of blood in his hand. Again, there's room for human error. There's still room for human error, but while always holding a bowl of blood in his hand, it's going to be easier for him to keep track which bowl it is. Okay. This is right now the operating pshat of our Mishnah in the Shita of Rav Yehuda. And the Gemara doesn't say it, but right, I'll just simply suggest. And as far as the Tanakham is concerned, look, yes, he's food deprived, he's sleep deprived, all the deprivation is true and correct. But everything's labeled. And the Tanakhama will tell you, okay, each stand is going to be labeled. And we're not worried about him making an error in this scenario. Okay. Finishing up the daf, right? It's a quick daf. It's a short daf. So Ahu Denach is, it's not easy, but it's short. So Ahu Denach is Kami Derava. So there was a person who davened for the Amud in front of Rava. Okay. Right. All these stories end the same, right? The person davening for the Amud, right? He's ad-libbing a little bit. Right, he's trying to be creative, and he's going to be corrected, right? Which, by the way, you know, 99% of the time, they did it right, right? The Gemara tells us the few times where they got it wrong, and they needed correction. So, you know, it's like the Rav and the Rambam. The Rav always argues with the Rambam. No, my statistics are made up. 99% of the time, the Rav agrees with the Rambam. That's why he says nothing. That's where so in other words, they agree more, much more than they disagree. It just happens to be that when he disagrees, first of all, he's very strenuous. When he disagrees, he's not shy at all. Okay, good. So over here, good. So we get to see the few times now where the Shlech Tzibur made a mistake and needs correction. Now, where do you make the mistake? So first of all, where is the Shlech Tzibur? In the context, we already know the answer. It's Yom Kippur and it's Musaf and he's going through the Avodah. Right, doing the avoda on Yom Kippur and the Musaf of Yom Kippur. So that is a really old minug, right? We're watching the Amoraim doing it. Okay, so the when there was a Beis Hamikdash, you know, it's always hard to say exactly what tefillah looked like when there was a Beis Hamikdash, meaning you actually did the avoda. So right, did they say the avoda and Musaf of Yom Kippur when there was a Beis Hamikdash? I don't know. You know, I could guess, but you understand. The idea of saying over the Avodah in the Musaf of Yom Kippur obviously, you know, really got off the ground once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So over here now, so this Baal Tefillah is in front of Rava saying over the Avodah. Amar, and this is what he said as part of the Avodah. We have, I don't know how it works by you. I assume it's very similar. So but we have a lot of piyutim, we have a lot of these poems. And the poems basically go through the Avodah. Okay. So, before and after. Okay. Right. Okay. So the, Amar, Yatzav Hinichu al Kansheni Shebehechal. So, he's going to be putting it on the second stand in the Hechal. Natal Dama Par, Vinich Dama Sa'ir. He takes the blood of the bull and he puts down the blood of the goat. Now, are there two stands or are there one stand? So this Shlech Tzibur was confusing about that very point. And Rava calls him out on it. So Amar Lei Chadik Rabban V'Chadik Rabbi Yehuda. And so Rava says to the Baal Tefillah, you're a little bit all over the place. Was there, right? You first talk about the second stand, and so you're adopting the position of the Chachamim of our Mishnah. Then you talk about how first he takes the blood, then he puts the other one down. Now you're subscribing to Rav Yehuda. So, Ema, Hiniach Dama Seir, Vinatol Dama Par. So, here's what you should say. In other words, take a position, and if, you know, given the choice, you probably should take the Chachamim over that of Rav Yehuda. So, take a position that there are two stands, and the proper Nusach should be that first you put down the blood of the goat, because remember, there are two stands. You put down the blood of the goat, and then you take the blood of the bull. Okay. So, the Baal Tefillah was corrected by Rava. We should all be so fortunate and lucky that we have somebody like that correcting us. Okay, Adkan, that brings us to the end of the daf. We'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots. Let's quickly recap. What we did today is we solved for Rav Yehuda. That was the entire daf. Rav Yehuda in a Mishnah in Yuma and Rav Yehuda in a Tosefta in Shkalim. Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah in Yuma, meaning our Mishnah, so it says that there's one stand, not two stands. Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah Shkalim says that despite the fact that there were two shofros in the Beis HaMikdash for birds, Rav Yehuda says neither was for chofa, they both were for nedava. Now, how does that work according to Rav Yehuda? Why? So, in the Tosefta, it says that for Rav Yehuda, it's mipnei hatarov, because of a potential mix-up. What did he mean by that? So, yesterday we offered a pshat, today we offered a totally different pshat. Today's pshat is that for Rav Yehuda, we're worried about somebody depositing money. Dam chatas. I'm all over the place. So he deposited the demei chatas. There we go. So he deposited the money of the chatas in the pushka, and that person died. And now you have demei chatas shemesu ba'aleha mixed in with all the other monies. And it's a problem that's unsolvable. Why is it unsolvable? So now we could say it succinctly because Rabbi Huda doesn't subscribe to Breira. Okay, good. So then what is that's the pshat of Rav Yehuda in the Tosefta in Shkalim. Now going back to our Mishnah here in Yuma, why for Rav Yehuda is it one stand, not two stands? So the answer is Chosha de Kohen Gadol, meaning that under normal circumstances, labeling and putting a sign up is the perfect solution. But considering that right now the Kohen Gadol is food and sleep deprived, so right now he's in a weak state. So let's make things as easy as possible for him. And therefore, make one stand, and that way he's always going to be holding a bowl in his hands, and it's going to be easier for him, it's not perfect, but it'll be easier for him to keep track of which bowl is which. That is the operating pshat that the Gemara seems to conclude in terms of understanding Rav Yehuda. Good. Two stands, one stand. What's the halacha? Well, the Shlech Sibar got up and said the avoda in front of Rava, and he vacillated in terms of whether it was two stands or one stand. And Rava says to him, you know what? Say over the avoda, and like there are two stands over there, meaning like the shita of the Chachamim.